Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Primetime with Sean Mooney, Network Classics, where we take some of your favorite episodes from the past with the WWF / WWE. And we've got another great one coming your way. This will feature the episode of WWF Superstars from June 6, 1992. And it was actually taped a few weeks before that. If you recall, and I've talked about it many times, that they used to do these TV tapings well in advance. They do 3 weeks of shows, and this would have been, you know, one of the episodes they taped early on. And, of course, it doesn't air for 3 weeks, and that's why it didn't air until June 6, 1992. And it is an interesting episode. We'll get to all that is involved in it. But before we get there, I just wanted to check in with everybody. That's one thing I like about doing these episodes is that I get to check in with you, see how you're doing. I hope that everybody is able to, have somewhat of a normal life right now. We are very adaptable people. Americans are just very adaptable. I should say people around the world are, of course. They have to deal with all kinds of things happening in their lives and, you know, natural disasters. And we are just incredible people that we find a way to keep moving and adjust and somehow accomplish what we need to. And it depends. Like here in America, they've put on many, many restrictions. A lot of the cities have pretty strict lockdown orders to stay at home, stay in place. People further out, maybe in rural areas where they don't have this congestion of cases, where they have a lot of coronavirus cases, maybe have a little bit more freedom. But in the cities, boy, they're really locking people down, and they don't want you going out except for, you know, essential reasons that you have to get food or, you know, something like that. Now, out in my city, we do have a stay-at-home order, I guess you could call it, but they're not citing people. They're not giving them tickets for being out. We can pretty much go where we need to be. But I think the biggest thing that you all notice, wherever you may be, is the social aspect of it. You remember the last time you went to a restaurant, went to a park, went to a function of some kind. In my business, in the news business, we MC a lot of events for charity and that kind of thing. Those are all gone. And also when you go to one of the stores, let's say for Home Depot or even grocery stores now, they only are allowing so many people in and they have these X's everywhere where you're supposed to be at least 6 feet apart. And that's really strange. And then also seeing everybody in masks. Now, in Asian countries, that's become very acceptable. It's something that they do all the time. But here it's a very different look in our country and what people are doing. And it'll be interesting to see when we get the all clear, how many people are going to continue to do that because of their fear of, possibly contracting something. It has really been an eye opener, I think, for everybody of what's happening. But really, I hope you're wherever you may be, you're doing well. And I hope you'll forgive me for I'm in my bunker here. I'm not in the same place I was where I was broadcasting before. So we all adapt, and for now, I'm hoping I'll be able to improve the situation, but I hope the audio sounds okay for this. Getting back to why we're all together here today is that we've got another great episode, another network classic coming your way, and this was, from the collection of Superstars. Now, you all know they changed the name they had to because of copyright infringements and that kind of thing, so this is an episode of WWF Superstars, and I told you it's from June 6, 1992. This show doesn't let us down as far as just being a very, what you'd call a promotional tool, as I've said before. That's what these shows were all about. Superstars and Challenge were all about just promoting the product. They wanted everybody to get out and go to the house shows, which they did by the hundreds every year. I mean, they just did so many of these house shows everywhere. And this was the way to get people out there to see the superstars. And so on these shows, they wouldn't give away a lot. You rarely ever saw two superstars of higher card status going at it in the ring on one of these shows. You always would see a superstar going up against an enhancement talent or jobber, whatever you want to call them. These guys in this show, most of them, that's the latter. There were some enhancement talent at the time, people like Steve Lombardi, and you know, guys like that who were just exceptional hands, as they call them. And when they wanted to put a superstar over, they'd put them in the ring with somebody like that. But for the most part, these were guys that would, you'd see them on TV on many of the shows, but they weren't ever going to reach that status where they were going to get a push or something like that. And this is a show where that's all it is. This is a lineup of superstars going against enhancement talent. That's we've got, for example, we've got Bret Hart takes on Tom Stone. Now, you remember that name. He was, you know, a wrestler of some, you know, recognition, but he wasn't a superstar that had reached any heights in the WWF, for sure. And this is a match for the Intercontinental Championship, where they've given him an opportunity to face Bret Hart. I think we all know how that's going to end. Also, the Nasty Boys are on this program with Jimmy Hart, who was their manager at the time, as they take on Major Yates and Reno Riggins. Now, Reno Riggins was somebody else you also saw on these shows quite often. The Texas Tornado, Kerry Von Erich, was a big superstar at this time. They really loved Kerry. And, you know, Vince really loved his look. And they really wanted to see him, you know, reach great fame in the WWF. It's just that Kerry had a lot of demons at the time, and he would not get to that point, sadly, because I really, really liked him. He was just a really great person, and he had a great look. He was a great performer in the ring. If you knew anything about the Von Erichs at the time, they were a wrestling family that was very, very well known, and those the brothers were, you know, absolute superstars in their own right, and that had nothing to do with the WWF. If you were from Texas or that area and enjoyed Southern wrestling at the time, they were kings. And so this was during his stretch with the WWF, and in this show that he's going to take on Mike Collins. Also, we get to enjoy the Beverly Brothers with the Genius, tag team that fell short of expectations. Although I don't know what they really ever expected from the Beverly Brothers. But anyway, they're in this show. And tag teams, of course, were big at the time, and they just had quite a roster. They kept pushing this encounter. It seemed like it just went on forever with the Beverly Brothers and the Legion of Doom. And it was, you know, they had the whole thing going with LOS, Legion of Sissies, and like weeks and weeks. And, you know, it was because they were pushing them in these house shows, but I don't think it ever really got over. And in this episode of Superstars, you're going to see them take on Mike Samples and Scott Bailey. Also, Crush. Talk about trying to put people over. I mean, Crush was somebody, you know, his history. Vince really liked Crush, you know, and they tried to team him up with the Demolition, with Bill Eady, who was kind of on the way out. And they were hoping that they could continue with the tag team with Barry Darso along with Crush, but it just didn't work for whatever reason. And then they pushed him as Crush, and that didn't happen. And they had him do all these vignettes, and they just were pathetic. And not that maybe the right vehicle might have been different, but these were just everyone they did. Remember the one he did in the junkyard with crushing the car? And I just don't think that they just could make it happen. Nobody came up with a great angle to give him this unbelievable push that might have helped him, but maybe it just would have never happened. Maybe he just didn't have it. But he faces George Anderson in this. High Energy. You remember High Energy, of course, of Owen Hart and Coco Beware with the genie suspenders that they would wear and the bright colors. Yikes. And also, they're going to take on Kato and Kevin Kruger in this one. And then, of course, we see Repo Man, former Demolition of Axe and Smash. You got Barry Darso, who would morph into Repo Man as he faces Dan Robbins. So this is an episode that's just full of promotion. And that's really the purpose of this show. But, you know, it gets kind of old because they're just pushing Ico Pro and the WBF And they're doing crossover, trying to do that crossover of the product, using the superstars to help them out there. But it was just not happening. But the good part of all this is that we get to see Gene Okerlund do some, you know, interviews, and you know, some of the other guys do some of their other promos that are great. So anytime I can watch these, I love watching them. It just brings back a lot of memories for me. And, of course, it was a big part of my life with the Event Center. So, you know, it's all sentimental for me. I could watch these things forever. And I hope you enjoy them, too. So with that in mind, I hope that you are queued up. You know how we do it. You go to the WWE Network, and then you're going to go to In-Ring, and then you go down and find the featured programming with the icon. You roll over to till you find Superstars. You click on that, and you're going to do the drop-down, but it doesn't matter. There's only 1 year. They've only released 1 year of Superstars. That was 1992. But you do have to find the date, June 6, 1992, and you're going to see Papa Shango as he's kind of a big push he's getting in this one now. And then I mentioned you're going to see Gene Okerlund, and they got a little gimmick going on in this one, which is kind of fun. They're pushing Papa Shango. And remember that all this is that's going on with the Ultimate Warrior. And, you know, they started all where he gets the armband from the Warrior, and suddenly he's having these spasms up on ringside, and then he, you know, collapses, and they take him in back, and he's throwing up a yellow green bile, and so they keep pushing this, and then Gene gets involved in the action. I'm going to leave it at that, but Papa Shango is getting a huge push at this point, and there, you know, and it's I thought it was a great gimmick. You know, I don't know, it just never, you know, wasn't main event, basically, but it was fun. It was a fun little angle going on. Okay, so as I said, you should be queued up. We're going to take a pause for those of you who still need to find it, and then we'll get to it, okay? So let's pause right now. All righty, so I assume you're back and that you're all queued up as we get ready to roll with this one, and you know, the Superstars episodes, and I hope they release more of them, because when they started doing with Raw, and they saw the success of Saturday Night's Main Event, I think they actually started to realize that you can't just keep giving people Superstars and squash matches for Superstars and Challenge. And so they started to open that up a little bit more. But at this point, they're still sticking to the formula, boy. They're just sticking right to it. Because why change? You know, if it's working, why fix it? Is pretty much how they were thinking, because things roll along pretty well. And as I said before, they depended on that house money. They wanted you to show up at these arenas because that's how they paid the guys, and that's how they put these guys over and get these get these payoff matches for people. So let's get to it. Are you ready? Here we go. So this is the episode of Superstars, WWF Superstars from, what is that date again? June 6, 1992. Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1, play. And we start right out with that fantastic open. We get a chance to see a little bit of everybody in these. Right, Roddy, there's Jimmy Hart, Undertaker, Hogan. Yeah, got the Owen, Typhoon, Tsukai. They got Earthquake, Tatanka, Owen, Boom, Ultimate Warrior, Macho Man, and Ric Flair is still with the WWF. And wrap it up with Hogan and Warrior. And they're in Lexington, Kentucky, the Rupp Arena. And this is when Mr. Perfect was part of the announce team with Vince McMahon. And that was his look, the double-breasted jacket with like the semi-turtleneck thing going. That was one of his favorite outfits. So, yeah, we're going to hear about that with Big Boss Man. And these things were just loaded with puns. I mean, it was just how thick you could make it with puns. That's what we want. Couldn't see Gene Okerlund. Uh-oh. Oh, boy. Oh, that wasn't nice. Come on. Gene Okerlund had a tremendous star. How dare Mr. Perfect make such comments? We got the Hitman Bret Hart, who's the Intercontinental Champion at this point. And, of course, the Nasty Boys. I mentioned that Jimmy Hart would be at ringside as well. Crush. They keep trying to push Crush. Barry Darso joins us as we get underway with our first squash match. Although I think that this might get a little play because, well, not really. Should I tell you it's going to last less than 2 minutes? Oh, geez, I gave it away. But Bret Hart's going to come out, and I think, you know, him getting to the ring and interacting with people was great. As he will slide out, I'm sure he's got to give away those. He's got to give away those sunglasses. And Tom Stone, see, I remember him. He was, he was a guy that made a lot of appearances on the promo shows on Superstars and Challenge. As he hands over the Intercontinental belt, and he's got to go back out, find himself a young man. And they would set this up, you know, look, right? He's got his breath, the Hitman Hart t-shirt, which is too big. I don't know, they didn't make smaller kid sizes. It was crazy. But they would go out and they'd say, you know, it's, ringside left, there's a kid there in a shirt. That's where you're going to give him his sunglasses. So it wasn't random, but I didn't have to tell you that, right? Tom Stone. Getting a chance here for the Intercontinental title. Wow, this is a big shot, huh? Shawn Michaels, a little promo as they continue to push this angle between Shawn Michaels and Bret the Hitman Hart. Yes, indeed. You're going to be seeing that show in a house show near you. Brings it back in over the ropes with a suplex. Lying to himself? I don't know about that. And Bret Hart drops that leg across the forehead. And pretty quick work here as he steps across. Oh, not ready for the sharpshooter yet. Drops that leg, drops him on the back of his head. So clearly Tom Stone has no idea where he is at this point. Going to lock in that sharpshooter. Come on, Tom. Let's get this over with. Can't take anymore. Can't take it. As he shows out the belt. There's another Hitman fan. So he makes quick work of Tom Stone here, but gives us a good look at Bret the Hitman Hart. Gets to say hi to the crowd, give away the sunglasses, and from the pages of the WWF magazine. And there's Gene. That was a nice look, though, with that blazer and the WWF logo, didn't you think? Still got mine somewhere. It's back in a closet somewhere. Oh, you know what I found the other day? I found one of my WWF ties. I saw that somebody sent me that somebody was selling that on one of those ties on eBay for like $5,000 or something crazy. Anyway, I don't know why Gene's not wearing his. So remember, up until this point, they'd never told us who the convict was. And maybe we'll see a little replay here. But as you know, they've been playing up this angle at this point that the convict who at some point had run across the big boss man while he was incarcerated, and of course the boss man did not treat him well, and now he's out for revenge. So this match, boss man, just making quick work of this jobber. And so the boss man always looking over his shoulder, though. You know, they threw out that match. He's kind of always looking to see what's, because, you know, he knew this guy was out there. But he's going to inflict a little punishment. And here comes the convict. We don't know who he is yet at this point. Yeah, comes over and grabs his nightstick, and now he goes to work on the boss man. Big boss man just brutalized with this nightstick by Department of Corrections. And now he's just going to work. And that was a really great knee. And boss man sells it just perfectly. So, you know, just going to work on him. I mean, it's classic beating. And this you know, set up a great feud between these two. It's just too bad it didn't last. Kevin Watchholz, I think that's how you say his name, was a little too volatile. You know what took place with Vince McMahon. But, man, this I thought the character was just fantastic, and he was really, really good with it. So we never really saw it come to its fruition, which I think disappointed a lot of people. I was among them. And they talk about that you could see the boots there. They got the really high heel. They had said he had lifts in the boots because they wanted him to, you know, seem towering. And Boss Man was one. Well, he was a big ass dude. I mean, he was you know, well over six feet. I mean, he and so they wanted, you know, geez, just big meat hooks there, just slamming into the side of the Boss Man's head. And we're not done yet. And another, just spitting on him, some big boots. And, of course, perfect selling this. As he seeks revenge. And they say, you know, when he had these boots, it was a little tough for him to get used to, so he wasn't real nimble in the ring with them. Just pounding away. So Gene Okerlund could barely watch the replay of this. Gene, so good. It's like looking around for someone to back him up on this. The brutality. Can you believe this? It's great. Oh, what a shame. By the way, we have this just in. Nails, see? This is the first revelation that we did not know up to this point. It was, he was the convict. And I don't think that they didn't know what to call him. So do you think they played a little bit with the voice here? There's a little manipulation audio-wise. Listen. Yeah. Yeah. That's, I mean, great, right? Ooh, boy. At the missing teeth there and everything, man. That's chilling. Right? Aren't you? Yeah, that was awesome, right? That was great. I love that whole storyline between him and Big Boss Man was fantastic. All right, here's a couple of guys you would see here and there. Reno Riggins got a lot of time in the ring with a lot of the superstars. And this matchup, they're going to be tangling with the Nasty Boys, accompanied by Jimmy Hart, Knobs and Sags. They relished in just destroying these people, but they were that way with everybody in the ring. So, you know, don't think that they're picking on these two guys when they go at it in here, because that's just the way they worked. Didn't matter who they were in the ring with. If you're going to go in, it's going to be a little stiff. As they shortly, they will go into action here, and it won't be lasting very long. But they're building. They're trying to build up a little tension here, a little bit of an angle between the Nasty Boys and High Energy, which is another classic example of where you've got two guys that are just really, really good workers. Owen Hart and Coco Beware. I mean, they do. These guys are just, Owen was, when you first saw him, you knew that he was just incredibly talented. This is one of those examples when they do a tag team where they just, it just goes over the top. It would have been nice. And like Owen is adapting a little bit of Coco's, delivery. Oh boy, you gotta have everything. The colorful outfits. I mean, like what? Lime green. Like they look like the one with like Coco would wear. It looked like a taxi cab where they had those giant like you would wear there with the black and yellow checks and. Ay, ay, ay. But anyway, that was what they're pushing here. And they just destroy them. Like, you just watch what these guys would do. I mean, it was just Major Yates taking a major beating here. But they wanted them to really show just how ferocious they were. And the more skilled you were in the ring, the better a match you would get. They would actually let you mount a little offense here and there. But sometimes they'd send these guys over that were in some local school who couldn't do anything. And they would just basically be a body. That's it. And they would just say, whatever we do to you, just go with. Like they had a choice. And I don't know. I think they get like $50. And thanks for coming by. And they could tell all their friends that they were on TV going against some of the biggest stars in the WWF. That match was $1.57. That's what it was, a minute 57. But, we got a chance here to see him. I don't know what the hell that was. Do-si-do. And I'll get a little push for a future matchup against High Energy. High Energy. Oh! The Big Cannons, the WBF. Remember I said before we got this thing started, they're just pushing this to the limits. WBF, there's Gary Stridham. And no doubt about it, man, he is certainly one of the greatest bodybuilders. But see what the way these guys look right now? By the time they got to that pay-per-view, I promise, they did not look like that. Stridham looked pretty good, but the rest of them, oh boy. Was not pretty because they were not allowed to enhance themselves with what they'd previously been using. And I shouldn't say everybody, but I'll keep myself covered that way. And I didn't mention names. But here you've got, oh man, yeah. Kerry Von Erich, the Texas Tornado. Everybody loved Kerry. Great look. And a little kiss there. Yeah, she's going to remember that. And Kerry Von Erich, if you'll remember, and it's pretty well documented now, but had been in a pretty nasty motorcycle accident where he lost about half of his foot and had to be amputated. So he had to have a special boot made. And he learned how to perform really at peak. I mean, a lot of people never knew it. He didn't really walk with a limp. And you see him in the ring, he really just overcame it really, really well. And like I said, most people never even knew that he had that. And it was very kayfabe. Nobody talked about it. And many even within the company didn't know. And he was a real favorite. And if things wouldn't have transpired the way they did, he would have had a tremendous career, I think, with the WWF. But it wasn't meant to be. And tragically, we lost him at a very young age. But a lot of demons followed that family. And if you ever want to hear more about the Von Erichs and the whole story with them, listen to that episode of Primetime with Sean Mooney with Kevin Von Erich, as he talks about the family and just how, you know, great the brothers were and what a family it was. But just, you know, drugs destroyed it. And it was just I don't know, you call it the curse, but boy, just the tragedy that they have lived with in their lives. It's great to see now, though, the generation, the new generation now doing well in the world of professional wrestling as that legacy lives on. And there we go. I'm very, very busy here. Oh, time out. Oh, okay, hi. Well, I left my WWF tie at home, too, apparently. Not quite sure what's going on with the Moss up there. But anyway, we get to see the Mountie is in singles action at this point with that Super Shocker. All right. Yeah, this is an easy promo, right? Oh, boy. Okay. So they had the angle going with him and Sergeant Slaughter, which was a good day. You know, you got two supposed law enforcement, law enforcement, kind of the military angle going between the two. Yeah, that's something you're going to see down the road at an arena near you. Boy, Mooney, reaching for that one. Okay, so here's the generics. Remember I told you that most of the markets would get whatever, if they had a house show going, and which was a lot. In most of the cases, you didn't get the generics, but these are the generics. Here's Virgil. Doing what he can, cutting a promo. But he got a pretty good push at this point after they'd separated him from the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, who was busy teaming up with IRS and Money, Inc. And I don't really know what happened with that. I think it just had its run, and they decided it was time to have Ted move on, do something different. And, they had some loyalty to Virgil, and they gave him a shot. Man, my voice was so deep then. It's kind of that Barry White thing going on. But, so there's your first edition of WWF Superstars Event Center. As we are now treated to the Genius coming out. I saw some video a couple weeks ago of Lanny when he first joined the WWF, where he'd come up. This is around the time that Randy first came in. And he had a perm and it just... kind of this porn mustache going, and it wasn't a good look. It was not a good look for him. So I'm glad that that didn't last. So now we've got the Beverly Brothers, of course, with their manager, the Genius. We might have to suffer through a poem. Yes, we are. As they prepare to take on Mike Samples and Scott Bailey. Okay. Oh, boy. All righty. Okay. If Mr. Perfect says so. As the Beverly Brothers, they're just still trying to get the push for Bo and Blake. As Perfect tries to help sell the LOS idea, this thing just went on and on. I mean, that's a whatever, but when that's all you got, really? Uh-oh. So she's got LOD, or he's got, I should say, sorry, that he's got the LOD shoulder pads on. And they're like, oh, can we just take a look at them? Now, don't think for one second this was something that mom and dad purchased up at the concession stand. Bob Collins, who was the promotions person, would go out and find somebody. I think it would have been Bob. I'm just assuming. And you got Genius of just happens to have some paint with him. And this young man's like, what? What are you doing? But I guess it's a pretty good souvenir, right? You got LOS, Legion of Sissies, as they give this young man back. Oh, they're just so mean, aren't they? Just so nasty. You're the Legion of Sissies, this young man at ringside yells at them. Okay, so we've got them facing Mike Samples and Scott Bailey here. And the only reason that this match is going to last longer is because they took so long to paint the kids' shoulder pads, because this is another squash match. Right over the top, right on the back of this poor guy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, that's going to make them mad. And they point out in these notes, and I should give credit to blogofdoom.com, blogofdoom.com with these notes, that they do point out that, you know, this thing went on, this whole Legion of Sissies, and they never have a run-on. They don't have Demolition come out and at least, like, clear the ring or something. I have to assume it was a TV taping, so the guys must have been in the house. I mean, give them something. Do something to try and push this thing. If they're in a building and they're doing this crap, you think they're not going to do something, you know, to go after these guys? But more paint. And, gee, what do you think they're going to put on this guy's chest? There we go. Let's see what they do. And, of course, they got to get the paint in. And, and then we've got the skull cap they're going to put on. So now they're doing it. Yeah, it's animal because of the mohawk. Big sell at the end there. Oh, and they got the poorly kids' shoulder pads. It's like, hey. Those are mine. Where's my shoulder pads? Don't worry, kid. We'll get you another pair. Bob, we need more shoulder pads. And there you have it. As they make quick work. See, the way, and that's how we would, you know, they had to coordinate all this. And remember, we're talking 3 weeks out from these TV tapings. So we could actually have me react because I would do them the week of whatever it was going on. I would do these. So they would be able to tell me, okay, you're coming out of a Beverly Brothers match. But it was a hectic week, man. Not only did I have to do all those generics, you know, nine in a show, but also all of those house shows. And at one point where we were doing, I remember there would be almost 100 markets a week that we would have to customize. So just imagine that. You're talking at least 300 for those, just for the just for the superstars and challenge. And I mean, I don't even know how many I did. It was just crazy. But we're seeing here they had Tito Santana pushing the Matador after actually sending him to a bullfighting school. So we've got, you know, Kamala, who's not going to say much here. So, there you go. There you go. So this is when they had Harvey Whippleman. It was like a cast of characters they're bringing in between with Kamala and then Harvey Whippleman. I mean, how many managers does this guy have? Kind of a sad story with Kamala. I mean, just the life that he's lived. And he's got a book out that you should check out. But, man, you talk about dealing with tragedy in one's life, man. He, not only with, you know, his health, but family tragedies just marked throughout his life. But he's got a book out, so I hope you get a chance to check that one out as we get ready for this matchup now with Crush. As, you know, they really, really tried to push Bryan Adams with this. And I mean, he had a great look, really good-looking guy, you know, huge, big physique. And as you know, they were hoping that he could come in, step in, and take over with Demolition and keep them high-flying. And, well, they never did any high-flying, I shouldn't say. But, you know, up there in the top rank of tag teams with the WWF. And it just they just couldn't make it happen for whatever reason. And so then they tried Crush, and that was even worse, I think. I mean, they just couldn't, just never... never got anywhere with it. But here he is against George Anderson. And you know, look, he's just, you know, pressing this guy for tossing him away. But, you know, very, very strong guy. I don't know. Maybe if they would have maybe come up with another tag team. I don't know. But this just never worked. Upcoming activities. So those other activities, I mean, help us promote the WBF. Belly to belly there. Oh, we got a fitness expo coming up that he's going to be at. So ooh, backbreaker spins him around. Pay-per-view. He crushes his head like a coconut. But this match was not really to push Crush. It was to push the Health and Fitness Expo. So, makes quick work here of George Anderson. That match lasted about a minute and a half. Oh, yeah, and then just he drops. Just never knew what to do with him. It's just a shame. But they did try, man. They did try. To Mean Gene Okerlund and Papa Shango. Oh, boy. What's going to happen? Watch out, Gene. Don't want to fall under that spell. Yeah. Yeah, they're all waiting. You know, most people remember Papa Shango as the Godfather, but I really felt like this was one of the best gimmicks that he had. I mean, for that time that it was there. I mean, for the WWF. But because you could do a lot with it. I think that's why I liked it. It was just so many things you could do. And it scared the crap out of kids. And this was when they were doing, you know, it was very family friendly. And I just remember being at ringside and the kids just being scared to death, man. And he did a good job with it. You know, other people like may disagree, but remember, I'm a product of the WWF, WWE, and they showed this black goo. Remember the oozing out of the warrior's head, and of course they got the gimmick pump thing. That's why he was wearing a jacket so he could do it. But I wonder what's going to happen here with Gene and Papa Shango. Because that's a little tough to do with the dome up there if they're going to do something like that with him. But I like that where he lights the guy's shoes on fire, which was great. I mean, and talk about a hot foot. I mean, and they let it burn for a while. Is he going to say something? Oh, okay. Here we go. Ooh. Oh, Ultimate Warrior, you're in trouble. Okay. Gene scared to death. This is an interview he didn't want to do. Ooh. You know, I mean, Charles Wright did a good job with this, really. I liked it. Some may disagree with me, think it was too gimmicky, but you have to remember what the programming was like then. Yeah. So, yeah, Gene's glad that he got away unscathed. Wait a minute. Oh. Gene, what the heck was that? Oh, Gene's... Oh, he's got the gimmick stuff coming out of his jacket. Oh my God. Gene needs some help. Let's get somebody out there. Give me a break. That's pretty much the reaction of the crowd. The gimmick pump didn't work so well. All right. Well, ooh, ouch. I like the look on the crowd's face what the heck is that? Evil goo. Yeah, okay. And now we got high energy, which God, what a waste of talent here. Come on, I mean, they have to make him, so cartoonish, I think is the word. You got two really good workers here. You got two guys that really know how to perform in the ring. And they dress them up like this, the checkerboards, the lime green. I don't know. Like they did things that I just didn't understand even back then. But anyway, you've got Owen and you've got Coco Beware teaming up as High Energy facing Kato and Kevin Kruger. And here we go. You got Owen in first. You know, Kato got a little bit of a push there for a while. And actually going to let him mount some offense here. Owen flips around, reverses that over the top. Oh, man. Takes him out. Yeah. And it is the thing is, you know, it's like even Perfect points it out. You know, like, what's with these tights? I mean, you got Coco wearing them, like, thing goes up to his chest. And it's like, God, I know they didn't, and I think I talked to Coco about this when we did the interview with him, that he thought it was ridiculous too, that, you know, you got to work in these outfits and the suspenders. Atomic drop, drop kick, and getting that high energy going. And there's a tag. As you see, Kevin Kruger in for the first time in this matchup. Perfect just continues to rag on him with these outfits, these with their high pockets. Sends Kruger over. Comes Coco. They'll wrap this up real quick here. Wow, get some height there. Kato getting a little shot as he makes a mistake, trying to get involved. Coco's going to give him a shot there, but he boots out in a hurry. Not quite sure what he wanted to do there. He's like... As they make quick work, we actually saw a little bit of exchange between these two tag teams, but not much. And Frankie makes an appearance. You ever want to hear great stories with the episode with Coco where he talks about the first appearances with Frankie and Frankie biting the crap out of his fingers and he's like hitting the thing with a stick to make it stop? I mean, he had to do some serious training. And we get to see Barry Darso, one of the best workers in the business, man. He was a great, great professional wrestler and did whatever they asked him to do. And in this case, he got stuck with this gimmick, Repo Man. And as long as they're pushing him, as the Repo Man comes in and is going to take on Dan Robbins here. You know, I mean, he did everything he could with what you could with this Repo Man gimmick. I mean, every pun you could possibly imagine, they had him. They did vignettes. I mean, they tried. And Dan Robbins, it's a shot right to the back of the head to start this thing out. Repo Man, not a nice guy. Pounds away. I used to love the way Vince would say that. We had an occasion. We had an occasion to speak with him. What does that mean? Like you made an appointment, talked to his people? It's like... So So they're pushing this feud with British Bulldog, with Davey Boy, who's involved in singles action at this point in his career. Dynamite Kid ain't around. No Mas as Repo Man. Little message for Bulldog. That never really went anywhere either. They try and sell that interview with Papa Shango and Gene with the Black Ooze. I know. Here I'm talking about how much I like Papa Shango, and then we've got the Black Ooze, and it was, anytime they did that, it was kind of lame. Like, okay, I admit that. But as far as, I just thought it was a good gimmick. Some of the stuff they went too far, but. And he creates a lasso here as he ties up Dan Robbins to wrap this thing up. Not quite sure what he's going to do with him. I guess it's like he's towing, repossessing. I don't know. I don't know quite sure what that means. He just continues to inflict punishment. The guy's done. All right? Repo Man. He's just sneaky. And there he goes. Oh, God, we had to get another event center in? Jiminy crickets. I think I tried for a part there for a while, huh? Let's see what's going on with that. Okay, so now we see Legion of Doom? I don't know. I don't get it. Look at how freaking massive Joe is. Look at those arms. There we go. Oh, he had such a great voice. That's right. So Paul Ellering joins us, this tag team, but they didn't need a manager, man. They were really good at cutting promos. It didn't hurt them. I'm not saying it didn't hurt them, but they were just great on their own. I loved them as, you know, the promos they cut, I thought were fantastic. And, of course, I loved Hawk. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, this, that, not Macho Man, you know, but that, what a rush, you know, that, just great. And then they kept trying to do this one, Money Inc., Ted DiBiase, IRS. There you go, because it's all about money. It's kind of like when they had these guys together, and it was just hard to create these feuds. So, yeah. That's what was great, though, with Ted, though, is doing the generics. He could, whatever it was, he could just nail it. Yeah, there you go. So in this episode, we got a chance to see a lot of the superstars, the bigger names, and the week coming up, as we're going to find out what's going to be coming your way next week on Superstars of Wrestling, or I shouldn't say that, I should say WWF Superstars. There you go. And we got a little teaser earlier on with Shawn Michaels. Probably more of they're going to be trying to sell that Intercontinental Championship match with Bret Hart. Tatanka. Nails. Now we know who he is. He's Nails. And the Macho Man, Randy Savage. That's right, Randy. Still getting it done. And there you have it. That was, with all told, about 45 minutes because you've got commercials in there. So usually that, you know, that show is an hour long. And, you know, it's just jam-packed. It is one giant commercial. And they kind of weave it through, and you do get to actually see a little wrestling in there, but nothing of note. And it just they just kept pumping these out, man. And at the time, that's when you had, remember, the WBF was going strong, or they were trying to make it. I don't know at what point where it started to really go south with the WBF, but I do remember that it's just that they started just super promoting everything to do with it. Where prior to that, we had a little crossover where, you know, you would have a spot or they'd have the Ico Pro banners in the background or something like that. But then it just got to like everything where they were tying in language that would help promote the, as we saw in this episode, the fitness expo. And, you know, so I don't know when it really got to the point where saying like, we're in trouble with this. It's just not working. We're not selling the product, and these guys aren't getting over. Taking these guys to the house shows was a disaster. You know, these guys they had on the roster for the WBF was a disaster. They were, and to think about it though, like where do you promote them? Where would you be able to get people to see these guys? And so one of the options was having these guys go to house shows, and they do these pose downs between matches. You know, they have the guys come out, and boy, that was just didn't go over well. I'll tell you that. So by the time they got to this pay-per-view, it was, and the edict had already come down that these guys could not do any kind of enhancement supplements, I'll put it that way. And so by the time they had this event, it was just really, most of the guys just looked very soft compared to what you'd see with, and we saw in that video of Gary Stridham and just, you know, ripped to shreds. That is not how they looked at that event. And I think to this day, it stands as one of the worst buy rates for any pay-per-view. Really, it was. I wish we could do a watch along. I don't know if they'd ever put that up on the network or where you could find it, but that would be a great watch along because it was sad. I don't know if you were one of the hundreds of people who actually saw it, and I do mean, I think that's what it came down to. But it was not good. So there you have it. Another episode of WWF Superstars. And I always have fun doing these. I hope you enjoy them. But, you know, we'll do more of them. Also, the Saturday night main events. And, of course, we've been doing Monday Night Raws. I would like to do maybe an episode of one of the, because they're in the libraries now, is maybe an episode of Nitro, one of the early ones, because I did a lot of research on those for some of the interviews that I did with people that, you know, were involved. And, you know, so maybe we can do something with that. I think that'd be kind of fun to do, even though I had nothing to do with the WCW, just from a standpoint of just looking at it and trying to do it objectively, I guess. But maybe we'll do something like that. All right. Once again, I want to remind everybody, please stay safe. You know, do your part at self-distancing or self-quarantining, whatever you want to call it. We're going to get through this. I work in news, and every day I'm bombarded with the numbers. And I really feel that we're going to get on the other side of this soon. And that, who knows, maybe it'll be a few months till we get back to some semblance of normalcy. But hang in there. And use the time to stay close to your family and take care of yourself and be healthy. Because, you know, this is just something else. It's so tragic, and the thousands of lives lost. But we'll get through it. We always do. I'd love to hear from you. You know, you can get in touch with me through Gmail. You can just email me at primetimemooney@gmail.com, primetimemooney@gmail.com. Of course, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at primetimemooney. And we've got, you know, of course, a Patreon if you want to get our episodes. And we drop a lot of content every week. Every Monday, like this, we've got our network classics. And then, of course, Wednesdays, we've got original episodes of Primetime with Sean Mooney. And then we release a vault episode on Saturdays. And they all drop at 6 a.m. Eastern time. And if you'd like to get all of those ad-free, completely ad-free, you can do that by becoming a Patreon member. And it's $4.99. And you get all of the content absolutely free. Other than that, you know, you can catch it every week just through Apple Tunes or whatever, Apple Podcasts. But you can do it that way or whatever your favorite platform is. And then we've also been putting up a lot of video on YouTube. And you can go to our YouTube channel, Primetime Mooney. Just search Primetime Mooney, and that comes up. And you can check that out. And, of course, if you're a Patreon member, you get that video before anybody, before we put it up on YouTube. We wait a week or so before that gets up there, so you can get that exclusively early before anybody else gets to see it, too. All right? So, as I said, take care. Thanks for listening, and I will catch you next time. I'm Sean Mooney, and I am out.